You're listening to Greater LA. It's KCRW's show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
It's going to get very splashy.
Today, we take you to an art opening at a gallery. High ceilings, white walls, world-class art. Three-dimensional prints in shades of brown and red and yellow. The work of the late Mexican artist Rufino Tamayo. Everything from the permanent collection of LACMA.
I need more paint.
This isn't LACMA's flagship campus on Museum Row on Wilshire Boulevard. This gallery is 5 miles east at MacArthur Park in Charles White Elementary School. Now, this school has a focus on the arts. It opened 15 years ago on the former campus of the Otis College of Art and Design. So it came with a great gallery. LACMA shows works from its holdings there every Saturday from 1 to 4 in the afternoon.
This current show, the Rufino Tamayo show, came out of a community focus group that we got together and said, well, here are some ideas for exhibitions in this gallery. Which one would you like us to do? And the community chose this one.
That's Erin Brenham, who runs school and family programs at LACMA. She says this show is part of LACMA's efforts to connect with a wider audience, a goal that's already benefited a lot of students and their families here in MacArthur Park. Though in a gentrifying neighborhood, it can be tricky to welcome in one of the city's top arts organizations. More on that story now from reporter Kirsten Zillin.
You're going to put some ink on, and you will put the ink over there.
At the back of the gallery at Charles White Elementary, an art instructor from LACMA works a small printing machine. She cranks out stamps the size of postcards for kids standing in line. Each stamp has a different background pattern.
Uy, qué bonito. So now you're going to put some ink on this, and you're going to ink it over there and press it down just like a stamp on here. Okay?
Second grader Lauren Avella works on a blue female figure she will print on an orange background.
So I kind of made it like a picture of me, and then I added a heart and a flower.
Lauren moved to MacArthur Park with her mom from Irvine in December. Sherry Avella picked this school for her daughter because of the art program. It made her decision to move here easier.
This is priceless. I mean that my daughter is having exposure to world-class art teaching in the elementary school.
Es todo un éxito porque desde que entré.
Ivania Morales has lived in the neighborhood for many years, and both her kids go to school here. She was part of the focus group that decided to show Rufino Tamayo's work.
Con impresiones, entonces ella está muy contenta porque lo puede.
She appreciates that her daughter can experiment with printmaking, learn about the influence of Tamayo on the art world and about different cultures.
Y conocer diversas culturas.
During the current exhibition, local artist Raul Baltazar will lead workshops with the elementary students. He grew up close to MacArthur Park and says it is a tightrope LACMA walks with its engagement in a neighborhood worried about the effects of gentrification. Baltazar sees a role for himself in both the neighborhood and the art world. He has connections, Baltazar says, not many people with roots in Mexico and Central America have access to.
I've had to jump through the hoops of, like, let's say, for example, getting a graduate degree at Otis in order to have access. So now that I have access, it's like I'm going to use it to my fullest advantage because it means something different to a community that's been disenfranchised and where our aesthetics were always othered.
It's not enough, Baltazar says, to include community focus groups in the process and show art that reflects its culture and traditions. He has seen Saturdays with only 6 or 7 visitors checking out the art.
Yeah, and it's still a big bridge to cross, which is going to take time and events like this to tie it in so that it becomes a community hub, you know, and a safe space that people want to come and go, hey, you know what, let's go watch a concert, hang out at the park, and then come look at some art.
Baltazar wants to make sure the kids who come to the workshops don't lose their cultural heritage in the changing neighborhood.
The only way you're going to compete against gentrification is by having the ends or the connections to fight for your rights to stay within the community. So as an artist, I want to model success to show them that, hey, you could make a career, and if you do it right, you know, you could actually build a cultural legacy for future generations.
For her part, Erin Branham at LACMA says she understands the tricky dynamics of elite art in a community setting. That's why there was a community process to choose Rufino Tamayo as the featured artist here.
If we're going to do this idea of getting out into the city, that means you got to make grassroots relationships with the community so that it doesn't feel like you're sort of flying in and going, oh, here's something we thought you would like.
The art also doesn't just flow from LACMA to the neighborhood. During this exhibition, Charles White Elementary students will create a sculpture inspired by the show, and then their artwork will become part of LACMA's collection. For KCRW, I'm Kerstin Zilm.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
And now to LACMA's permanent home along the Miracle Mile, in a place that's recently been at the center of some heated controversy. Full-page advertisements taken out in the LA and New York Times have bold headlines that read, "Save LACMA from Tanking." Those ads lament a huge new redesign of the museum that will replace four of its main buildings with one massive new structure that will flow across Wilshire Boulevard. Not everyone is on board with that design, and there are also growing concerns about the museum's ability to cover the huge price tag for that redesign. LACMA director Michael Govan is here to talk about the museum's new campus and to address the controversy. Michael, welcome.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm all right. And also here with us in the studio is Frances Anderton, who hosts KCRW's Design and Architecture, and she has talked, I mean, so many years about the redesign and about LACMA. Frances, hello to you.
Hello, Steve.
So, Michael, I want to start with you because for people who don't know about the new design for LACMA's campus, can you give us a brief description of what you guys are planning to build there?
Sure. As a lot of people know, we've already expanded massively with two new buildings, the Broad Contemporary Art Museum, the Resnick Exhibition Pavilion, lots of public space and sculpture. And this is the final element of a 20-year plan to expand and develop LACMA to the sort of size and quality that should be expected in Los Angeles. So in 2001, and then again in 2013, the board and the county reviewed the older buildings. There were four older buildings that were built in 65 and 87, and whether they could be brought up to code and repaired. The price tag for that was hundreds of millions of dollars, and the public would have had to fit the bill. So the conclusion both then and recently, 6 years ago, is that we really did need to build a new building that would be the most effective, not only for cost and quality and lasting into the future, but also for the art and for people. So we embarked again. There was a project in 2001 that failed to do the same thing. Money wasn't raised. So we began again to do that. We looked at a lot of options, including the 2001 option, Renzo Piano's thoughts, and of course restoring the buildings. And we threw in a new option with architect Peter Zumthor. And he's designed a really state-of-the-art, amazing, and beautiful solution to the future of art museums here in Los Angeles by replacing four buildings with one easy to navigate, accessible space. So that's the basics of the plan. We're beginning construction, and then we should be open to the public in early 2024, timed when the Metro opens here at Fairfax and Wilshire, which will be a game changer to create public access.
All right, Frances, you heard that. Mm-hmm. Four buildings, the hodgepodge, as it were, right? Mm-hmm. Becoming one. This is the Zumthor design. The controversy, though, surrounding this massive revamp, I mean, what has gotten people so riled up about this?
Well, let's start by saying that Peter Zumthor, of whom Michael Govan is a great fan, does do amazing and beautiful buildings. So I'm going to start by saying there is absolutely a divide on this.
I hear a but here, though.
But there has been building opposition to this project. Now you have some more vocal people who are stepping forward, actually at what is the 11th hour. Four buildings are currently sitting empty with demolition imminent. And at this point, there has really, the voices have got louder. And you mentioned the ad that appeared in the New York Times and the Los Angeles Times. That came from a group called Citizens Brigade. And one of the members of Citizens Brigade is a guy called Greg Golden, who's a well-regarded architecture journalist, lives in the Mid-Wilshire neighborhood. Is very, very anxious about this project. Here is Greg Golden's own voice.
Quite simply, the price of the bridge is skyrocketing while the size of the museum is shrinking, and we're going to lose the most important encyclopedic museum west of the Mississippi to a very bad bargain for the citizens of Los Angeles.
And what he told us this morning is that LACMA first said the cost would be $500 million, then it was $600 million, then it was $650 million. Now the LA Times says it's $750 million. Documents from the county treasurer show that it could be as much as $900 million.
All right. Michael, what do you say to that? How do you address the concerns of a Greg Golden?
Well, obviously, you raised a number of questions, and I don't know if
Let's start with space, because it is a diminished space,
that's
correct?
That's actually the easiest. Yeah, that's the easiest. So when I arrived in Los Angeles in 2006, the museum had about 120,000 square feet of exhibition space in four buildings. And we set out on a plan step by step to grow. So when the Zumtor building is complete in 2024 with Subway open, we'll have 220,000 square feet of exhibition space. That is almost double. And we feel, as a museum curatorial staff, that this is really a huge amount of space. It's a multi-day experience to visit 220,000 square feet of space. And we think that's the right size for LACMA.
I hate to interrupt you. Are the critics wrong, though, Michael, that there is less space? I mean, are we talking floor space? Because floors and walls are different.
No. What the critics have often done is just focused on this single piece of a multi-building, multi-decade project to expand LACMA. And it's not fair, because actually it's better to do what we've done, which is to lighten the east side, put more weight on the west side of the campus, and balance the whole thing very much in collaboration with our neighbors at the La Brea Tar Pits and the Natural History Museum.
Let's talk about the cost of this, because, I mean, we talk about the design and people liking it, not liking it, but there's also the matter of funding. The LA Times reporting that the overall cost to complete the new campus is $750 million. Francis mentioned it as well. You recently secured a big pledge, $50 million from the Keck Foundation. So according to the LA Times, you now have pledges that total about $640 million. You still have more than $100 million to raise. How do you address that? And are you concerned about that going forward?
No, not at all. I mean, a lot of people have looked at this. There's a huge amount of county oversight. We have finance committee. A lot of thought has gone into this. There was some confusion in the LA Times because there was a question of the 650 number, which has been out there for more than 5 years. That was the budget for the building. At that time, we didn't know what ancillary costs were going to be outside the building. The county wanted us to just focus on the building. And once we knew what it would cost to develop our temporary education trailers and all the little things around the project. Once we estimated those, we bundled them into whatever it was, $70-some million, and then we increased the campaign, knowing we were already so successful that we could easily announce $750 as a campaign goal. We built our other two very large buildings designed by a major architect, Renzo Piano, on time, on budget, and people are really enthusiastic. We've had people give us unsolicited pledges. An artist, famous artist in LA, Helen Bashkin, sent us a check at the end of the year for $100,000 and said that she wished she could do more, but she wanted to send a sign of support to this new project, which was going to be so important for all of us. So the money has actually worked out.
Francis, we talk about some of these groups who are opposing the plans, right, going forward, mention the fact that there could be, if the money is not there. Michael says the money's there, but if the money for some reason is not there, then...
Well, there's anxiety that the public is going to be on the hook. And again, I do want to emphasize there it's absolutely people who really admire what Michael's doing with LACMA and really admire Peter Zumtor and are excited about the new project. But there is a vocal group, two vocal groups who are essentially united around the same goal, which is to try and stop this project in its tracks. That even though four buildings are currently sitting empty, the yard has been removed, and the structure over Wilshire Boulevard has been approved, there is a hope. It's definitely out there.
And they want to stop this. They want to stop this redesign. They want to stop this plan.
They want to stop the plan. They want to stop the plan. They feel they have the public on their side. I spoke with Rob Holman. He is a co-chair of one of the groups. It's called Save LACMA, and they are trying to get a ballot measure on the ballot this coming November, and this is what they want to do.
The ballot measure would mandate that LACMA could only accept a certain percentage of funds from the county, that there would have to be public representation on the LACMA board, meaning a few public members of the community, because the public, in effect, a part owner of LACMA, that LACMA could never sell its art, or its art could never be considered an asset that could be used if LACMA goes into arrears.
If LACMA goes into arrears. So what do you say to that? Someone trying to develop a ballot measure and really codify and triangulate you to where you're unable to do these things.
Well, nothing that you just said is different from our everyday work. I mean, again, the buildings have so much, they would cost so much to repair. The county and their representative of the public aren't prepared to do that, and no one else has stepped forward. So that was true a long time ago. It's too late to reconsider that decision. And so we are going forward. And of course, the faster we go forward, the sooner our collections will be back on view. And we want to meet that deadline of having the subway open and us open. And we know change can be hard on that level of architecture, especially modern architecture. But I think what everyone needs to know is that years and years of thoughtful work has gone into this. And by the way, the plan to build the expansion first, the BCAM and the Resnick, was that so we could stay open. We have 100,000 square feet of galleries fully open for business, which was part of the strategic plan over the 20 years, is to never close, but to be open. We could have 1 million people a year here, as we have over the last years, in the space we have open.
Michael Govan, the director of the LA County Museum of Art. Michael, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you very, very much.
And Francis Anderton, host of DNA, which airs, of course, every Tuesday here at 1:30. Francis, thank you.
You're very welcome, Steve.
Well, coming up, because you can never have too much art in your life, we're going to talk about Los Angeles as art destination. You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW. Back with Greater LA on KCRW, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This Friday is Valentine's Day. Oh, how nice. And how apropos that LA is kicking off a big love fest for the art world, its own art world. Freeze Los Angeles, Art Los Angeles Contemporary, Felix, and Spring Break Art Fair are all open just for this weekend here in Los Angeles, Valentine's weekend. All of it combined represents this big shift as LA moves into the space of being a sought-after international destination for art and art exhibitions, something new for sure. Here to preview all of those shows and exhibitions is our art insider, Lindsay Preston-Zappas, who's editor-in-chief of the Contemporary Art Review Los Angeles. Lindsay, welcome back.
Hey, Steve.
Freeze is returning to LA for its second year. It was a big hit last year.
Yeah.
It's open this weekend. It'll run through Sunday the 16th. Is this an exhibition? Is this a fair? What is this that we're talking about here?
Yeah, so an art fair is this whole brand of thing, right? And it's a bit nebulous, but essentially they travel, right? So there's fairs that pop up in London and New York and Mexico City and really all over the world. And galleries fly in with the art. They ship the art. They sometimes bring their artists. They bring all their staff. And the collectors fly there too. So it's this big kind of hubbub of activity where each gallery gets a booth. And then they set up artworks for sale.
And Freeze will be where? At Paramount?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. When it launched last year, year, they chose Paramount Pictures Studios, which is, of course, where they film TV and movies. And I was at Paramount and actually saw the cast of Grace and Frankie, like on a little scooter going by, you know. So there's actually filming going on during the fair. So it's really leaning into this kind of LA Hollywood myth. And, you know, the fact that there's actually filming going on during the fair is really interesting.
Is there a component, Lindsay, of any of the galleries that will focus on Los Angeles and its place in the art scene, the international art scene?
Yeah. So how the fair is structured is there's a main tent, and that's sort of what I described with all these gallery booths. And then there's an area called Focus LA, and that was actually curated by LACMA curator Rita Gonzalez. And this will present 13 LA-based galleries that are 15 years or less in the making. So these galleries, you know, are more like mid-sized, smaller galleries. So I think that really celebrates LA. And then on to the back lot, Steve. So the back lot is this whole thing. You leave the tent and you walk back down the street, and all of a sudden you're in New York City. You're outside. You're in this fake New York City set, right?
I've seen it before. There's a subway stop. There are these old walk-ups, right?
Right. So back there, that's where they do freeze projects. And there they'll have artist projects, performances, installations. So it'll be a lot more activity in that back area.
So this is a fair, and you get tickets to this fair. And I wonder if there's something about access to this, because these tickets aren't cheap.
Let me tell you, Steve, these tickets are wild. So to enter that main tent, the tickets sold out the first round, and now they're offering a second round of tickets at an increased rate. So the tickets now are $125 just to get into that main tent to see those 70 exhibiting galleries. The back lot, however, is only $25. So if you want to go to that New York set I was describing and see talks and music and performance, it's only $25. So there's a real difference in the price range there.
I wonder, I mean, when we talk about the access and how much it costs, $125 if you want to see the whole thing, right? If that says something about who Freeze is trying to attract, and given LA trying to really open itself up and proliferate, you know, some of these exhibitions and make it more of an international art destination, whether that sort of is anathema to that idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think that price breakdown really tells you who the fair is really for. It's for these collectors. It's for sales. These galleries spend so much money to participate, so they really have to recoup that cost. But then the backlot in this programming and the Focus LA is almost trying, it's also a nod to LA and the community here. So they're kind of trying to have their cake and eat it too, in a way, and kind of make their money back, but at the same time be relevant to the LA art community.
Let's talk about the Felix Fair, which had a different price model last year than this year. So why the different price model?
Yeah, so last year Felix was free, and this year they're charging $25. So it's a little bit of a different thing. They're hopping on that kind of ticketed format. And Felix popped up last year alongside Freeze. Part of the reason it is even happening is because of Freeze. It's sort of this momentum of Freeze that other art fairs open up and kind of want to jump in on it. So they are at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. It's within 3 miles of Freeze. And instead of booths at this fair, each gallery gets a hotel room. Also, there are gallerists at Poolside Cabanas, so that's another exhibiting area around the pool. So again, this very LA-centric kind of energy.
All right, let's talk about Art Los Angeles Contemporary. This has been at the Barker Hangar in Santa Monica Airport. It's been there for almost a decade. This year, it's moving to another location. Tell us about that.
Again, you know, trying to jump in on this Freeze energy, right? So they're moving to the Hollywood Athletic Club, which was actually founded by Charlie Chaplin in the 20s. And, you know, again, feeds into this kind of Hollywood charm, this sort of movie industry thing. And again, less than 3 miles away from Freeze Art Fair. So I think it's a really smart move. They're moving closer to be in this kind of central Hollywood hub.
I mean, it almost sounds like what Art Basel in Miami, right? We've got like one thing happening, but let's think these other ancillary, these more peripheral things that are also happening at the same time.
Exactly. So it's not just Freeze, it's Freeze Week, right? So it's not just one thing. It's like this whole week-long event, and all these galleries, offsite things, dinners, you know, music events. events are all happening simultaneously. So it's really kind of like the snowball effect, and everyone's jumping in on it.
All right. Lindsay Preston Zappas, our art insider and editor-in-chief of the Contemporary Art Review Los Angeles. She'll be launching the newest issue, by the way, of her magazine, Carla, on the Freeze LA backlot Saturday from 3 to 5. So if you're there at the fair, you can stop by and say hello.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. All
Sounds
right.
good.
And you can check out Lindsay's blog, of course, through our website, kcrw.com/greaterLA. Lindsay, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, that's going to do it for us today. We are online at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Subscribe to the podcast. We'd love to see you there. It'll drop into your box anytime. And share your thoughts with us, too. What do you think about LACMA's plans for the future? Tomorrow, the race to replace City Councilman Jose Huizar in LA's 14th District. Jenna Cagle, Danielle Chiriguayo, Sonia Geis, Amy Ta, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, Christine Comito, and Christian Bordall make this show happen each and every day. I'm Steve Chiotakis, mere cog in the wheel. Thanks for your ears and time. Have yourself a great day.